Thank you, Ron. Good to be here tonight. I tried to stay a little busy today to keep from thinking about tomorrow so much, but I've been looking forward to this for a long time because I have felt like I've been carrying a big load on my back for a while, and I would like to get that load off if it be the will of the Lord to do so through this doctrine. And so continue to pray for me, as others are, and we'll get back to the Word of God. And I wanted to go ahead and do another installment on this, so I was ready to, and I said, well, there ain't no point in putting it off. We'll just go ahead and do it. And so we were in Acts 16, and there's two people that we have the name of that's in our study. And one of them, of course, was Luke the doctor. And he showed up in 1610 here. And I don't know how long that Paul might have known him. I don't have a clue as to that. But when he saw this one, he said from in a vision that Paul seen him in a night vision from Macedonia. And the man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately, Dr. Luke, he includes himself in this thing because Acts is part of Luke's writings, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Gospels. And then there's another one that they went back on a journey and was going back through, and they had a meeting at the river over there, and there was a bunch of women out there that was meeting and having a kind of a prayer vigil, if you will, and by the riverside. And the river was the River Ganges, G-A-N-G-A-S, Ganges. And he said that Luke knew the river well, knew that part of the world pretty good there at that time. And so she believed what Paul and Silas was preaching. And so her and her household got saved and baptized. And Paul and Silas got invited to stay with her at her place. So, and then they run upon this other young lady, and this woman's name was Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A, Lydia. And, there was another girl that was there that was possessed with a demon, a spirit. And she followed Paul and Silas around and told the truth, actually, but in her words, the God that she thought was thinking about was the God of Zeus and not the God of the world. And so Paul said he got tired of hearing her say that, because everywhere they went, she went along and was saying this thing. And so Paul said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it said, and he came out the same hour that the demonic spirit came out. But the notes here that Dr. Luke had come up with, or maybe known about, or however he come about it, said, and I want to read you 19 again, because we got down through that last week, and this is where we left off. Excuse me. And it says, and when their master saw the hope of the gain was gone, which she had people that were tempting her sort of to do that in this case. And so there was a note in the CB that says perhaps the demons rent and broke her in coming out, as in one could find in Mark 9:26, Luke 9:42, and John 12:32. So it must have been kind of evident in those days that if a demonic being was in a person that way, and when she was brought out by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, that it wasn't an easy thing. And I never really give it much thought, but, you know, that's what happened to the one that betrayed Christ. You know, it says his bowels gushed out. So, yeah,
Jesus.
So when
that's a violent rending.
That is a real deal there. And it said they, the masters, caught or laid hold on, or literally made a citizen's arrest on Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. Okay, and the rulers there, and I guess we did part of 20, or maybe did 20 also, because at the end of the study, it was brought up by Brother McCurry down in Anderson, that and when he was looking at his set, he said they brought them, Paul and Silas, to the magistrates, which was plural. And I would not think that they would be plural magistrates there, and so went back and looked at that and said, no, that magistrate was supposed to be singular.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to have to deal with that a little bit as we get involved too. And then saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And it's, the note said in there, in the notes, that it was feared that a riot was about to begin. And so we got a lot of this extra information here in the 16th chapter of Luke. It really gives us a pretty good idea of what was going on here. And so this is kind of the rest of the story, as we had heard Paul Harvey say a few times. So thinking about that, I'll go from 20 to 21. Let's see. Okay. So I'll just go to 21. I thought there was a little more to it, but there is, but it's in the next verse, verse 21. 21 of Acts 16. If you have a companion Bible, it's on page 1620. If you don't, I don't know what page you're on. But it says, and teach in 21. It says, and teach, and that is to proclaim, or in the Greek word there is the word shivo, is to proclaim at that point, to teach customs, or to proclaim Shivo. And customs in the Greek is the word ethos, which are not lawful. The customs there, and their point was to say and teach or proclaim customs which are not lawful, speaking of Stephen, whom they stoned later. This in Acts 6, 14, and 15. You remember when they stoned Stephen, this was where Paul was introduced as holding the cloaks of those that were doing this. And yes, it was a problematic time in those days. It says, for us to receive in the Greek, the word is paradosimomai, and it means neither to observe in the Greek for that is the word emai. These men being Jews to begin with, being Romans, and it says the us and the above who are Romans as well as is well known. So they were Jews there, but they were also Roman citizens, and like Paul, but it said it was well known that they were Roman citizens also, but not so much with Paul and Silas, because Paul was not a Jew. But he had studied and he knew the Jewish language and all that went with it there. So they observed and understood it to be well known that Paul and Silas, they wasn't sure who they were or what their makeup was at that time. Then we go on to verse 22, and it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and that's a full stop. And the word together there in the Greek is synephistimai. The multitude crowd rose up together, or I guess in unison would be another word that could be used for that, against them. And against there is the Greek word kata, K-A-T-A, kata, something that's against something else. And that is a full stop. And here we have a crowd that's come together, and they're talking about, you know, dealing with this situation and taking care of them. I don't know what their deal was, but they carried them to the magistrate. And he said, and the magistrate ran off his clothes, and that word there is in the Greek is peri. Periregnuma, his clothes, and commanded by an order to beat them. And when the magistrate put forth the order to beat them, there was no allowing them beaten to answer the charge. He just took it in his hands to judge them and charge them.
Judge, jury, executioner, right
there. And take care of the thing right there. And they beat them with rods. And it wasn't the magistrate that done it, but he made the charge against the people that are called sergeants. And that's, and the word in the Greek that comes from the word sergeant there is apostellos, means ones that are sent to do a job.
Exactly.
And they generally, in this situation, if they got a group of people set up to do things like that, they just send part of them to do the job and the other part watches the crowd or takes care of the crowd. So evidently this was something that they got away with pretty often. Oh, but now this is a different story. We're getting into a little bit now the rest of the story, because Paul and Silas is not going to stand for that without doing something godly toward this situation. Okay. So, he gave the command by an order to beat them without allowing them that was beaten to answer. They were beaten with rods in verse 22. And it doesn't say with rods, but the very next verse goes with it, 23, and it tells about that. And I'll just read 23. And then we'll go back to my notes. It says, when they had laid many straps upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Okay, now when he talks about renting off the clothes up there, I was off a little bit on that word. That is perirezumai. To beat them with rods. And it tells, excuse me, and it tells us there that there's a little more than to that. And the Greek word for rods is rabdizio. Only here in 2 Corinthians 11:25. And the ones doing the beating, some of them were called sergeants and some of them were called lictors. And it said the lictors who had attended on here were praetors, and they carried rods or staves, the rabdos, for the purpose of beating people, and were called rod bearers or rabiducios. And it says, see verse 35. So they were people that were in the court of the magistrate here, and whoever was taking care of business there. And they had these things with them or on them to do these things. So evidently it didn't seem like they was, or they, it's kind of like when we were going fishing one time and we stopped in at a little place down in Santee Cooper. We went in, all these people were wearing these 45 pistols on their side. And my brother-in-law asked him, said, "Y'all ain't expecting trouble." And he says, "No, we don't ever see any." So these guys were supposed to take care of the trouble, evidently. So they're in 22. And it says that when the lictors, and a lictor can be called a jailer too, so who attended on the creditors, carried rods and stays for the purpose, and were called rod bearers. Now, 23 goes on and says this, and when they, the rod bearers, had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prisons, and into prison, charging the jailer to keep them. And that Greek word is desmorphulat, safely. And the word safely there is where we get our word asphalt from. It's acephalos, acephalos. And it's almost like asphalt. But when he talks about keeping these men safely, I mean, they were going to be put in stocks. They were going to be chained up and fixed up, and there's no way they're going to be able to get out. And so, you know, if you're dealing with asphalt, once it's laid down and it gets hard, you're not going to overcome it too much. You're going to have to really spoil it in some way or another with something pretty heavy. But in God's arsenal of tools that he has, he has the right tools to do what he wants to do with. So here we go. They laid many stripes on, and so verse 24 says, who having received such a charge, these lictors or the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So evidently they had these wooden stocks. It's kind of like a, it's like wood with holes in it to where you can pull them apart or spread them apart. And then when the stocks are closed back up, then you don't have a chance.
You're not running off.
You're facing in. Yep. Whether it be in the hands, or whether it's kind of like a yoke on an oxen or two oxen tied together. You know, if they get tied together, something has to unloose them. They can't unloose them themselves. And this was the same thing that happened here with when these guys were put in jail in verse 24. And it says, those having received such a charge, a supposed lawful order of the court, since the magistrate made the charge and enacted upon it. So that was pretty understood there. Thrust them or cast them into the inner prison. And there's a Greek word for that. And that Greek word is esotheteros. Esotheteros. So they got the big charge. They got put in. Not only did they get beaten, but they got whooped into the jail, and they really faced them down.
Locked down.
And they really key locked them in. Okay, so they took it as a real charge anyway. And it said it made their feet fast in the stocks. And then verse 25. And this was, you know, we got to go back to, they were at the, beside the river in the afternoon. But here we've gotten down to midnight now. So all this stuff happened between probably late in the evening, probably after 6 o'clock their time. And it's gone on till midnight now with this thing. And at midnight, it said, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So, Paul and Silas the word at there is the word kata again. Midnight. Mesotukanon. I guess that's midnight. Sounds good to me. Paul and Silas prayed. And the word prayed there is prosukumai. And sang praises unto God, full stop. So, here again is Luke saying, okay, we've got four here, so let's see what the full stop is for. We need to stop and think about this a minute. These people are in jail. They've been beaten. They're down on their luck. They're sore, evidently. Sore, and now they've been taken to the inner part of the prison and locked in. What in the world else can happen? Well, I reckon Paul and Silas felt that it was an honor to be locked up and have all this stuff done to them because of the grace of God, that the grace of God was available to them to take care of them and for them to go on and do the work that they were supposedly there for. So let's see what the full stop is. Now, it says to see the note. Boy, they've got notes all over this chapter 16 here. Now,
That's why I love this part of Acts. There's a lot happening.
Yeah. It said they sang praises unto, or I don't know how they would know this if it wasn't something happened to them then when Luke and all of them were there too. But Paul and Silas, I don't say that all of them was locked up. It just talked about Paul and Silas. And it said they were literally humming. The Greek word is humio. And it's used here, Matthew 26:30, Mark 14:26, Hebrews 2:12. It said the first two passages refers to the Greek hallel. I don't know who hallel is. But it says, see notes on Matthew 26:30 and Psalms 113. If this were sung by Paul and Silas. Note the beautiful significance of Psalms 115:11, 116:3, 4, 15, and 17, and Psalms 18:6, 29. And then the result would be Psalms 114:7. And it says the noun, which is whom knows. And then humming was whom neo, but whom knows there is the word him. And it was used only in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. So it gives you a lot of area to go to, which we won't take the time to do that tonight, but because there's a lot of information here that, but them singing the praises was heard. And it says they were heard or were listening to by those in jail, okay? And the prisoners heard them, it says. But God heard them too.
No doubt.
The Holy Spirit heard them too. The Godhead heard them.
And this is a little bit of a difficult situation to be singing hymns in.
And these people were hurting. I mean, they had been beat.
Bleeding, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, when you sing praises, you give God praise, and it's heard, something's going to take place. And I'll bring up this little thing again. And it came to pass.
No.
Well, it doesn't say that in the next verse, but it did. And that's what it meant, really. Let's read verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, full stop. How bad shaken was it? Really, how bad were they being shaken? And it says, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So everybody in the prison got a freebie here.
Can you imagine how they must have been looking at each other?
And it was at midnight. Now, it was kind of dark, gotta say. Okay, you got to remember that these prisons probably didn't have no lights other than a
torch,
something like that. But they just didn't have much light for sure, and it was midnight. Let's look at what 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Well, guess what the Greek for earthquake is?
Seismos.
That didn't change. It hadn't changed much. If you have a seismos, you can expect the earth to tremble. Because what else can make the earth tremble but God's power? Okay?
Amen.
So that the foundations, what had been thrown down to build upon, of the prison, and that Greek word, the prison there, is demoterion, were shaken. The foundations, Maybe that's the word foundation. I'm not sure. We're shaken. And shaken is saliu. And that's the full stop. Because we need to realize and understand now what's just happened. From singing, at least two people singing hymns unto God or songs unto God or humming unto God, whatever it was pleasing in the ears of the Creator of this universe.
It literally brought the house down.
Yeah. Had the tools to bring the house down. Yeah. The asphalt that they was laying on, it didn't hold up too good. Okay. I had to throw that in there a little bit, too, because, you know, you look at these things and wonder why they're there, but this kind of gives you a real, you know, a real trip. And it says, and immediately, it didn't, it happened more, boom, boom, boom. All the doors were open, and everyone's hands were loosened. And that Greek word, loosened, is anaima, anaima. I wish I could speak Greek. But yes, they had words for about everything, for sure. Okay, what happened after that? Well, if there's always, generally, if there's one thing taking place, there's an opposite or something else taking place also. So we get to verse 27. After the suddenly, the earthquake. It says, and the keeper of the prison, we don't know what his name is, but the man, the jailer, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled or had been fled. Or they had left. Okay. So the keeper of the prison, or jailer, awakened out of his sleep, became truly awakened. You want to know what that Greek word is? Exepnos. Because he got exepnos out of the bed. Mm-hmm. He probably got threw out himself onto whatever he was sleeping in or on. Okay.
That's a really, really talented earthquake that can make the bands fall off your hands.
Yeah. And seeing the prison doors open, he done the thing that I guess these guys do over there that was in charge of the prisons. If you let somebody loose,
it's your life.
It was your life. And so he wasn't going to, you know, he didn't think too much about taking a chance. He's just going to take his sword out and thrust himself with it or fall on it or whatever. And he said he drew out his sword and would have killed himself or was about to, supposing that the prisoners had been fled or that they had fled or escaped. And there's a note there on 27. Okay, let's see. He said he drew out or drew and would have killed or was about to kill themselves, supposing that they had escaped. And he says, Roman soldiers were responsible with their lives for the prisoners in their charge.
Yep.
So, you know, if you were in Rome and you were in prison and you, like Peter, you remember back in 14, 15, Peter, they put Peter in jail. He got out and he went to the people's house where they were praying for him. And this girl come out and seen him and knowed who he was. And she couldn't believe what she was seeing.
Yeah,
you know, so it, these things, you know, come about. And it, but it says in verse 28, it says, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. So, I guess he was taken back a little bit, as we would say. He says, do thyself no harm. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. That's a full stop. He didn't want this man because he saw in him something that he had not yet taken advantage of. But here was a great thing happening before this man that he was going to have to give his life for. And he's saying, wait a minute, I just locked this man up. Now he's telling me, don't do nothing silly.
We're all here.
We're all here.
Yeah.
We're all here. Well, why are they all here? I mean, gee, you'd have to be an idiot not to realize that something was going on here that was far beyond anything normal.
Yep.
In 28. Said, we're all here. And there's a word there, and I didn't write it down, but in the Greek, it means to do nothing evil. Don't do anything evil. Don't harm yourself. You're in enough trouble as it is already. Then you get to verse 29. It says, then he called for a light. This was the jailer. So they didn't, they wasn't well lit there. And it says, for he, the jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas because they had just saved his life.
Yep. He's had his come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. And as Brother Washnock would say, he found Jewish percentage. And 29, you know. And the jailer asked for a light. And he sprang in. And springing, the spring there, S-P-R-A-I-N-G, spring, is the Greek, is aspideo, and came trembling, or was shaken. And fell down before Paul and Silas. Okay, so you see, he was really shaken. And so this calls for more action. There's more action and more results. In verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs." Okay, they were free. They could have gotten up and left, but they were still there. And the jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Yeah, I think he had decided that whatever he had and whatever they had more than he did.
Yeah, and
he was on the wrong side of the fence.
Yeah, and he understood. I think he understood that immediately.
Yeah.
Or maybe not immediately, but within the system of this story. And he brought them outside of the prison and said, I don't think he said "sirs," but the word there would have been "masters." Now, they owned him.
Yeah.
And he understood that
the roles have swapped.
He understood that the roles had now changed. He was no longer the jailer or the lictor over them and had caused them to be beat by the order of the magistrate.
Well, after all that happened, he came to the conclusion, "I'm not in charge anymore." Yeah.
So he says, "What must I do to be saved? If you guys have got this kind of power, and you've got this kind of understanding, and you're dialed into all this, what must I do to be saved?" We're going to read 31 probably and let this be it. And they said, this was Paul and Silas, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Like Lydda, when she heard Paul and Silas preach, she took into her heart what they said, and she was saved and baptized, and her house. In the same situation that afternoon late before all this took place. Well, here it's happening again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31. And Christ is pissed to you.
So, and this is something to think about in this economy right here, based on what they said back to him. Did the faith of the father cover the house during the Acts period?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair question, Dan.
Yeah.
At least it looks like in several cases.
Yeah, I think the person of the house was as considered being the owner that was one in charge.
Yep.
Or the one in charge of the house.
Yep.
For that fact was it. Now, Lydda, she brought them in and fed them and gave them a place to stay. And here the jailer says, "What must I do to have what you've got?"
Yeah, so just Michael said, I don't think "saved" there means justification at all. He may be right.
Yeah. Well, it's probably.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know if it means. I'd have to look into that. Your point, Michael.
Well, but he believed.
Yeah.
They believed. The rest of the story is they believed. And it said, the same condition of faith must apply to those also. So, if they had the same feeling or the same insight as the jailer did, so he's took them out of the jail. So, the next thing would be, the idea would be, well, he's going to take them home with him. And he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to set them up a table. And they're going to eat meat. and he's going to clean him up. He's going to wash him and heal his stripes, or try to. You know, we'll have to pick this up in another study. But, and it talks about the same condition of thy house. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes into a place, a confined place like a house, then I think the others probably gets the same feeling also, or the same feel of God at work. And so I think in order for them to receive the same thing, they had to come to the same place in their life that this jailer had just done.
Yep.
It's what we would call a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love Acts. There's always something else to go back and get over and look at again.
It is.
I see what you're saying, Michael. I'm not sure I agree in this particular point, but I'm.
Well, anyway.
What you're saying.
I have to study on that one. If you read on a little bit, it seemed like it. They got involved in doing all this cleaning up and repairing these men that had been beaten unmercifully and had been beaten, and that again was another thing. It was like the first miracle that Christ done when he went to the marriage. He turned the water into the wine, and not only that, but did for them what they couldn't do for themselves.
Yeah.
And they got the benefit from that. And so the benefit from cleaning these people up, and they may have beat them all. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit there's a lot about the Acts period and a lot of the things that went on of the Lord.
Yeah, I think
of that period that I don't fully understand.
I think we're just getting snapshots of the whole deal here.
Because very interesting then.
Yeah, but the whole thing is in done in such a way that it gives you and me now, years later, all these 2,000 years later, reading it back, we get the understanding that this is how things went on. It's just like, to me, it's the same deal as laying on of the hands. When these people went to clean these people up that had been beaten, especially Paul and Silas, well, the hands were being used to do these things with, and so just if Paul could send a handkerchief to somebody else or something like that, and the Holy Spirit would heal him, well, the Holy Spirit could certainly have passed that feeling right on to these people here that were doing that. And it said they were baptized, and they also believed, and we don't know their names, but here they are.
Good stuff.
Well, I got to go home and go to bed, folks. I got to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, you got a lot to do tomorrow.
And I got to go take my sugar again and write these things down. Because that's going to be one of the first things they're going to ask me when I walk through the door. How's your sugar? What is your sugar in? Yeah. Old man. That way I can just pull out my little note and tell them what it was, because they didn't want me to bring my equipment in there. They wanted.
Yeah, you know, they're using their own stuff.
If they want to take it again, they can take it with their stuff. But they said, no, if you've kind of got it down pat, you don't have to bring anything in, but this is what you're wearing.
Yep.
And said, we'll give you a bag and You can put it up when you get ready to go home. You can wear them same clothes home. So I said, okay. Said, leave it in the car. I said, thank you so much. I'll do that. So continue to pray for this list we've got. And also pray for Elaine Van Brackel down in Sparks, Georgia. She called me today and said she was praying for me every day. So I thanked her for that. Thank the Lord for having friends like that.
Amen.
All around. And she needs prayer too. So add her to your list, if you will.
Sure thing.
So thank you very much. Hope to see you again Sunday.